This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Sharp Money, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to bring in our buddies. Always a great listen. Chris Plank, SiriusXM College Sports Radio host. Also on the Sooners Radio Network. You can find Chris on Twitter at Plank Show. We might even get an appearance from Lucy the Cat if we're lucky over the next segment here. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I was so happy, Patrick, because I had everything set up. And right before you came to me, she grabbed the camera, and now she's stalking it again. So I'll be able to talk to you, but at any moment, the camera could go down, and I'm just sorry, man. Patrick, it's good to see you. Dustin, it's good to see you, man. Pumped to talk a little college football. We're back, baby. We are back.
We are back, and that's where we should start. So obviously, you're all over Oklahoma football. Why don't you just give us the macro picture? Where are the vibes right now on the Sooners, and what are your expectations?
Well, first of all, the vibes are cautiously optimistic. I think they're high, but in the same vein, can I say we? Is that acceptable?
Sure. Yes, you're allowed.
I don't think we've ever seen a schedule quite like this, maybe ever. This is as difficult of a schedule as Oklahoma has ever had, and I would almost argue. I know that Florida is up there with the difficulty of schedule in the SEC, but I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this for Oklahoma. I mean, you think about it, you finally get an opportunity to get into a power conference. You finally get an opportunity to play with the big boys, and they give you a big boy schedule. I mean, look at that, dude. you open up with Tennessee, right? And then let's say you get that win, and it's a swing game, right? You feel good about it, but then you turn around and you got to go to Auburn. All right, let's say hypothetically you beat Auburn. Beautiful. You feel good about yourself. You're sitting at 5-0, probably at that point, like a top six team. Good luck. You got to go play Texas. So the vibes are high because I think there's a lot of confidence in what Britt Venables is doing. I think there's a lot of confidence in what they've recruited. And I think there's a lot of confidence in the freshman, well, I guess sophomore quarterback in Jackson Arnold. But man, that's did not get the easy end of the stick as far as the first year SEC schedule is concerned.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jackson Arnold. So legendary quarterback General Booty gone. Dylan Gabriel also gone. Jeff Lebby also gone, the offensive coordinator. What are we expecting to see from Jackson Arnold in this new look offense? Because under Venables, the offense hasn't been the OU we had come to know and love under Stoops and under Lincoln Riley. What do you anticipate this looking like this year?
By the way, I just want to make this point, Patrick. Has anyone become more Vegas than Dustin? Look at this.
No,
look
he
at
is Mr.
you,
Vegas.
You sexy beast. Oh, my
he
God.
He is Mr. Vegas. He's on a weight loss journey, so he's looking all hot
look
now.
Great.
He's Mr. Vegas.
Yeah, chick magnet. Hey, I think here's this is a theory overall in college football. And Patrick, Dustin, I don't know if you guys agree. I think we're going to see teams commit a little bit more to the ground. And I think Oklahoma's going to be one of those teams. You got 5 new starters on the offensive line. And I think only one of them even started a game for the Sooners last year, and it was like the last 2 games of the season. So you've got 5 new starters on the offensive line. Your best receiver might be a Purdue transfer and Deion Burks, even though Nick Anderson has been outstanding. But, you know, Nick Anderson's been a little dinged up in practice so far. So he was an or on the depth chart. So I mean, I feel really good about it because, you know, Seth Littrell has run offenses before. He's co-OCing with Joe John Finley this year, but it's 2 different offensive philosophies, guys. It's the air raid and it's the hurry up, no huddle. And somewhere in the middle, Brent Venables is like, I want to ground and pound a little bit. I want to run the football. They're a much better run blocking offensive line right now. And I think they might have as deep of a running back room as they've ever had at Oklahoma. Gavin Sawchuk, Javonte Barnes, both have had outstanding falls leading up to the start of the season this week.
We're talking to our buddy Chris Plank, Sooners Network, of course, 35-1. So that's a long number in the SEC for Oklahoma. And you just nailed it. Like, as far as the transfer portal, it makes handicapping just an impossibility to start.
I don't know how you guys
because
do it.
Just look at what happened with Florida. Florida can't, Norvell cannot lose that game. But he's working in so many transfers, replacing big time talent. They go to Dublin and get beat by Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you brought that up because you have teams that reloaded but did so with portal talent. And listen, Ole Miss is one of the most fascinatingly built, if that's a proper term, team maybe in the history of college football. It's all free agents. We've never seen this before in the sport. But will it work? That was 17 portal guys on Florida State this weekend. And it sounds like, and it looks like they didn't get the quarterback right. Patrick, I'm a big believer that one-year transfer quarterbacks don't always work. You know, Joe Burrow took him 2 years at LSU. Same for Justin Fields. Dylan Gabriel took him a couple of years at OU. You look back historically, what one-year transfers, Devin Leary didn't work out. Sam Hartman, it didn't work out last year. Now, Jalen Hurts had worked out. Cam Newton had worked out. But we have a laundry list of guys, including DJU, Dylan Gabriel at Oregon, Will Howard at Ohio State. I'm curious to see how this works because that's such a tough position to play in college football.
All right, in the same vein, you mentioned Ole Miss, all the transfers they bring in. The one spot they don't have to do that is at quarterback. Jackson Dart is back again. Same system. Patrick hates Lane Kiffin. Can't stand them. I think this team is scary. I bet them 8-1 to win the SEC. I can't bet them to win the whole thing because there is still the Lane Kiffin factor, so I do agree with Patrick there. Where do you come down on Ole Miss and how they handle the expectations for the first time ever at this level?
Yeah, what's the one thing that Lane Kiffin's missing right now is that dominant, you know, kind of statement season as a head coach where he wins it as a head coach. Now, he did it as an offensive coordinator. But as a head coach, where he wins a championship or where he takes an elite group and makes them better. I love that bet. I love the Jackson Dart Heisman pick. But it's like Lane Kiffin sneezes and they're like, oh, gosh, it's the greatest sneeze I've ever seen in my life. Oh, no one's ever sneezed like that. And we completely forget that this guy was a disaster at USC and left Tennessee in the middle of the night and wasn't necessarily tearing things up at Florida Atlantic. I like Lane Kiffin, the person. I like the personality. But as a coach, he still has a lot to prove. And they don't necessarily have the most challenging schedule. But you go to LSU, you get Oklahoma at home, and then you get Georgia at home in a 3- and 4-week stretch. They should be, what, 6-0 going into Baton Rouge? And if that happens, I think they might be on a rocket ship towards playing in the SEC championship game.
I agree with Chris. I like Kiffin. I think he seems like a fun dude. He's got a good personality. He's a terrible head coach. Clay Helton,
social media star.
He's a great social media star. He's brought a lot of money into the program. Clay Helton is a punchline here in Los Angeles with USC. He had a better winning percentage at USC than Lane Kiffin. And that's just facts. There's a lot of Ole Miss is freaking loaded. Speaking of which, we know how loaded Kirby and Georgia is. Their schedule is brutal. Thoughts on Georgia football this year?
Yeah, it's been a team that I by no means living on easy street or anything of that nature. But now you take the SEC East component out of it. It took Tennessee a couple of years to get where they're serviceable. And then as soon as they get there, they're off their schedule. But guess what? They're replaced with they're on their schedule, but it's later in the season. And you got to go to Alabama. You got to go to Texas. I'm not as big on Texas as other people, but I guess because I'm an Oklahoma guy, you're not supposed to be. But I'm going to tell you something. If Georgia ends up in the SEC championship game this year, you can't make fun of his schedule. You can't say it was like because of the East. You can't do any of that. They got a challenge this year. I really like them, Patrick. Carson Beck was I don't know if this can be taken out of context, but was like a bigger dude than I thought he was going to be whenever I saw him at SEC Media Day. I don't know what I expected, but he was bigger. He was a little stronger than I thought he was going to be just from the aesthetics of him. And now they're talking about him as maybe being the number one quarterback in the draft. We shall see. But they are as advertised. That's going to be a fun one to open the season against Georgia this weekend. But let me tell you something. They are loaded. Not as deep as they've been in years past, right? It used to be too deep and they'd be fine. But to me, they're still the standard bearer. And to think that they haven't lost a regular season game since, what, 2020? That's incredible, the run that they've been on.
Yeah, Chris, I'm with you on Texas, by the way. Can we not?
Thank you.
Let's take Texas and Florida State, same thing pretty much. Outside of the quarterback, obviously yours is back. They have to replace multiple running backs, their top two wide receivers, their NFL tight end. I don't see how Texas does this. When you look at the Longhorns, what do you feel is a realistic expectation for this team? Because I think they're going to take a big step back.
Yeah, I do too. And again, I always throw the disclaimer out there. I'm an Oklahoma guy, right? I've worked on the Sooner Radio Network since 2011. But I respect Texas. I mean, this isn't one of those, I hate everything Texas. I'll say this. They lost two of the best defensive tackles that they've had in a really long time, and they went in the first and second round. They lost a wide receiver who now suddenly is bringing Patrick Holmes and the offensive attack back to the elite nature. And oh, Adee Mitchell is starring at Colts camp right now. Jatavion Sanders was built in a lab. And oh, by the way, they lost their best, maybe, the field general defensively in Ford. I don't get it. I think that we've been drunk on Quinn Ewers coming back or maybe Arch Manning playing. They've got maybe a little bit of an easier schedule than what most teams would have in their first year in a conference. A&M's back on the schedule. I mean, it's shocking. I know Oklahoma has dominated the series against Texas over the last 20 years. So I'm not a big believer in Texas. Do I think that they can make the playoffs? Of course, right? It's a 12-team playoff now. There's probably going to be four or five teams get in from the SEC, but I'm not with them as one of the top four or five teams in the country, guys.
I think that was a remarkably fair and unbiased take on Texas football from a dude that lives, breathes, and sleeps Oklahoma. That was a good job, Chris.
Yeah. That's about ready to go back out into this 100-degree Oklahoma heat. Sorry I brought some sweat to the show today,
No. But, and also, as he told us, he bought a cow right before.
Literally.
So he's got to go store his cow and take care of Lucy the cat. Chris Plank, he's the best. SiriusXM College Sports Radio host, Sooners Radio Network, a must-follow, at Plank Show on Twitter. Planker, thank you, buddy. Nice to see you.
Thanks, guys. Good to see you, Dustin. Good to see you, Patrick.
Okay. It's nice to see you as well. We'll talk to Chris during the season. He's one of the best. We love him. I'll tell you all the time, Dustin, when I was making my cross-country journey, I listened to Chris, and I was like, this guy's freaking good. So it's nice to talk to Chris again. We're going to come back with those week one college football lines next here on Sharp Money. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. John Middlecoff is going to join us coming up in about 12, 13 minutes. Former NFL scout with the Volume Podcast. He was a scout for the Eagles back in the day, so we'll talk about that Eagle team and also maybe get to the bottom of what's happening up in San Francisco. He used to be in the Bay. I believe he's in Arizona now, John, but he's connected with that 49er organization. The news earlier today, CeeDee Lamb has signed a record-breaking deal to stick around. No surprise here with the Cowboys, but now that lines up Ja'Marr Chase, who's holding in. Of course, the Brandon Ayuk situation has yet to be rectified. Trent Williams, not playing, wants a new contract. So interesting going-ons right now with the 49ers. Speaking of which, we've got John coming up. We've got Steve Fezzik in the third hour, professional bettor. You can get your questions in, sharpmoney@vsin.com. So right now would be a good window to get our Sharp Money Survivor kicked off because it's a new week every Monday, and we've got just a Hall of Fame name, and Chance Copperpot. He's in today.
Oh, he's in, and he's into it. There, I don't even know how to get you ready for his video. We thought Manny Davison broadcasting from a prison was weird. Chance Copperpot's taking this thing to a different level in terms of weirdness. He also is going deep in the board when it comes to WNBA props for his bet. He's been all over it. Was texting me yesterday that he already had a bet circled before it was posted. He just needed the number to be right. He was right. He got his number. And there's actually been action along his way where the number has started to move juice wise, so he got ahead of it. He's a weirdo in Seattle. I freaking love him. He loves Sharp Money. Sent me a long email about how long he's been a VSiN pro, how much he loves our show. He loves the network. He's all about this network. And here he is, Chance Copperpot, with his Sharp Money family play for Monday.
How long can you last? It's time to see how the listeners of VSiN do. Your best plays. Your best bets. Longest streak wins.
We're going streaking!
It's Sharp Money Survivor. Pick or die.
Hey, you guys! Sharp Money. Chance Copperpot here. Treasure hunter in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. Looking for that hidden booty, just like my old grandpappy Chester Copperpot. My Sharp Money play for the day is Ezzie Magbegor, under 12 and a half points. That's right, we're going to the W. Shut up, birds. We're going to the W. WNBA, Ezzie Magbegor, under 12 and a half points. Lock it in, Sharp Money, and I hope to keep the streak going. Bring back our Sonics.
Okay. So, obviously, Sharp Money Survivor has turned into something that's pretty special because it's an opportunity for us to connect with you, the family of VSiN. Obviously, it's an opportunity to get to know VSiN pros. And it's just, I wouldn't even call it ironic. I would call it kismet that while Chance Copperpot was doing his video, he had to shush the birds in the background because, well, he's a weird bird.
He's certainly a weird bird. All right, the first part is a movie reference. His name is Chance Copperpot. Chester Copperpot was a scavenger hunter in the movie The Goonies who went missing in the 1930s looking for One-Eyed Willie's treasure. That's what the Goonies eventually found in the movie. Spoiler alert. It's been like 40 years. You should have seen the movie already. So that's why he's in the pirate getup at the beginning. But he didn't have his bet yet when he filmed that. So for some reason, he didn't want to put the eye patch back on. So then the pick comes while he's just wearing his Seattle Supersonics corduroy hat there at the end. I love this guy. I hope he goes on a heater. And you look at the standings right now. He's laying like minus 132 juice here on this bet. Nish Gandhi is the first guy in this contest to understand that the juice doesn't matter until you get to the tiebreaker format.
Correct.
It's about picking and winning. If he wins today, Chance, he'll pick again tomorrow and then Wednesday. And if he loses, it's over. But he has to get to Nish Gandhi in 5 wins, so the juice is irrelevant. He can go as high as minus 150 here, so 132 is not that bad. I like the strategy from him. I like him going WNBA props. And if he can make it to Thursday, he'll have college football to add to the mix to maybe make this a little bit easier when it comes to finding options for the best play of the day.
Yeah, I think we just need Chance to stick around because feels like he's creative.
It feels like
the
yeah.
videos, a daily video from Chance Copperpot in the beautiful Northwest, I feel like it could brighten up our day a little bit.
I agree. I feel like we're just getting an appetizer of the weirdness. I think there's a whole lot more to come should he win today.
Which we like. Chance, welcome to the party. Pick or die. And it's so funny, like getting the bets because he's digging into WNBA props. How the world has changed.
Oh.
Like he's a pirate. I did not understand the reference. I'll admit to you, I've never seen Goonies.
Oh, it's a great movie. Goonies never say die, man. You got to see it. It's one of the all-time greats. I'm not going to tell you should because I know you won't, but yeah.
He also, I'm going to fire up Goonies tonight.
You should. I'd also say that he actually did lose a bet already. In one of his emails to me, he said, I can already hear Patrick call me a donk for this. So you didn't call him a donk. We're all in,
no,
Chance.
No, I didn't.
We want
didn't
more pirate.
Call him a donk.
We want a lot more pirate stuff.
Nope, didn't call him a donk. And I will say, that freaking Supersonics hat was awesome.
Well, he's right, though. Like, how do they not have a professional basketball team? This is a joke.
They're getting one. We're going to do the next two franchises in the NBA. You can write this down and lock it up. One's in Seattle, and one is right next to you in Las Vegas.
Yeah, so but that'd be two West Coast teams, so we got to redraw the lines here. Someone from the West has got to go East.
Okay, fair enough. No, I think they're just going to be expansion.
No, but there would be too many teams in the Western Conference than if we had two to it. So we got to take one away or two away and put them in the East now. Memphis would make sense. New Orleans
just
would make
give
sense.
Me just quickly, Chance Copperpot's bet was what?
Oh God, I got the name in the rundown. I had to type the whole thing out. It is WNBA Ezzy Magbigor under 12.5 points minus 131.
Okay. All right. John Middlecoff is going to join us coming up next. We wanted to talk about the biggest line moves of the college football week one slate. And for example, Nevada at Troy. Troy opened 16. This is the biggest movement thus far. What does it move? 5.5?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nevada's at Troy. And Nevada, we know how bad they're going to, but they did cover. And that number has been bet all the way down to Troy 9.5.
Yeah. Well, they were winning, you know, at the half against SMU. They looked like the better football team for a long stretch. They definitely brought in some more transfers. The quarterback looked really athletic. I think that's why we're seeing the movement the way it is, shortening up on Troy's side from 16 to 9.5. SMU was horrendous on the road in Reno. I mean, they looked bad. Were. Preston Stone, I still don't have a full understanding if he was injured or benched. Either way, he stunk. A lot of sharp people told me SMU was going to be awesome.
They looked horrible on offense. That's supposed to be their calling card. And maybe that is Kevin Wilson and Reno figuring some things out in this offseason, getting this program righted, or maybe it's just SMU was overrated. I'm not really sure, but this line moved because of that game.
SMU was steamy, not even just in the game, but also as far as just the season outlook. And they were terrible.
Everyone loved them. Everyone loved them.
Everybody loves Rhett Lashley. We understand. And you got a returning starter in Preston Stone. They were horrible. Nevada isn't any good. This might be an overreaction. Steve's got
Jeff Choate. I don't want to say Kevin Wilson. Jeff Choate's the head coach there.
Jeff Choate? Yep. Pardon yourself.
Yeah. It's like, wait, Kevin Wilson got fired.
Yeah. You actually, Clemson and Georgia, another move here. It's number open. I actually see a shop open. Open 12 and a half. You know what? DraftKings opened
12 and a half.
They opened them 14. No. They opened them 12 and a half, got bet up to 14, now back down to 13 and a half. So buy back on the 14 as far as Georgia and Clemson. That is just, I know it's a game you bet early.
Yeah.
You took it with Clemson, the 13 and a half.
I think there's been a slight overreaction
to
Clemson. And I understand they're not playing the portal game, but you also have to keep in mind Dabo Sweeney's using that NIL money to pay guys that are already on the roster. So, like, he's giving them more money for staying. That's playing a role here for me. And that means that they have continuity. Whereas Georgia has no Ladd McConkey, no Brock Bowers, and Ra-Ra Thomas was kicked off the team a few weeks ago. It's a lot of weapons for Carson Beck. And this is a Georgia team that was 5-8-1 against the spread last year, 8-7 in 2022. So that's a combined 13-15-1 against the spread over the last two. That's one game better than UCLA, one game worse than Akron. Georgia finds ways to win. Like, that's what Kirby Smart does. But in a game like this where I don't think the talent discrepancy matches the number and I think the continuity is going to play a role here, I'm going to take that big number with Clemson on a neutral site here against Georgia.
100%. Now, Dabo gets a lot of heat for not dancing in the portal. Where it should benefit him is early on. We just saw it with Florida State against Georgia Tech. The team with continuity, Georgia Tech, ends up big upset catching 10.5. And right now you've got Dabo, a very proud dude, won national championships. He's catching a big number week one with continuity, whereas Georgia, some, but also working in some of the portal kids. Love the number as well. John Middlecoff coming up next here, Sharp Money. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to talk to our buddy John Middlecoff. Does a great job. The Volume Podcast hosts. Podcast is 3 and Out. I encourage you all to download it. At John Middlecoff on Twitter, of course, former NFL scout. We say hi to our good buddy John Middlecoff. John, how's the desert? How's Arizona?
You know, it's nice and warm. I'm sure a lot. You're in Vegas, right? It's nice and warm there, too.
It's 3 months of over 100 degrees, so you got to get used to it. I was going to ask you this because we'll get to the football here. You've made a life off of football, but do you prefer golf? Because I feel like you are big into golf.
Well, I mean, I can't play football, right? Like most anyone after the majority of people after high school never play football again. A small percentage of people play in college, and then obviously a very small percentage of people play in the NFL. I love football; it's how I pay the bills. But golf is really I don't have any hobbies, so I play golf, and I'm decent at it. So you can play these courses that the pros play. It's just a unique sport that as long as I have my health, I can play the rest of my life. I love the PGA Tour. I mean, that's basically all I watch is football and golf. I like gambling on the PGA Tour. I think the popularity and the ease now that I live in Arizona of, using DraftKings and being able to gamble because I'm watching anyway has really kind of added to it. So, yeah, now moving to Arizona, which is like if Vegas is the gambling capital, I would say Arizona is right up there with the golf capital. So it's a nice little carryover. But there's – not much that I love more in the fall than Saturdays and Sundays and Thursdays and Monday nights.
Yes. Yeah, no, golf is remarkably popular here at the network as far as betting, so we totally agree with you. Let's start with, you've been tweeting about the Steelers quarterback situation. Again, both Russell Wilson and Fields led a touchdown drive this past weekend, but it's a mess. That offense, like, conversely, the defense could be super special, John, but the offense, it doesn't look great to start here.
You know, I was just getting my podcast together ready for tomorrow, and one overall theme I think I have, because last year when you look at the AFC North, I think we thought coming in it was going to be a powerhouse division. It turned out to be that, and, you know, the Bengals, who had been in the Super Bowl the year before, obviously Burrow's injury derailed them, but I think we all agree if he was on the field, they would have been, you know, pretty darn good. What if that division isn't that good this year? That's kind of one of my big picture takes. You know, I think there are major question marks. Burrow can't practice four straight days. The Ravens, I mean, lost a lot. I mean, their defensive coordinator, who is a star, his nickname was Boy Genius, is gone. They lost some players, and they just had a pretty devastating thing happen to them in their O-line coach dying, and he's been there for a long time. And that'll rattle you. And plus, that's a very, very important coach. You know, I mean, it's usually one of the highest paid. It's the highest paid position coach. Most of them make well over $1 million. So you lose the human, you lose the coach. It's a lot. And the Brown situation with the quarterback, I don't know about you, but I'm out. And then the Steelers, you know, one theory that I've had for a while, and it's on full display right now in the NFL. If you go to good teams, right, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, whoever, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, Matt Stafford, their backup never talks about being the starter. Like, he knows his role. It doesn't even come up. Now, if the guy gets injured and he has to play, okay. But they never go, I should be a starting quarterback. Well, Justin Fields, and rightfully so, is going, I'm better than this guy. Now, whether that's true or not, you know, it's impossible to really prove as of today. But they got two guys who believe they should be starters. And I don't blame Justin Fields. He's watching this guy. He's like, what are we doing? I'm sure you saw the clips of Stidham and Zach Wilson. Stidham's like, I deserve to be a starter. It's like, Jared, you started four games in your career. I don't like it when my backups talk like that. Because now the difference is Stidham ain't touching the field. Like, Fields and this Russell Wilson situation. I mean, the only thing the Steelers have going for them is these guys are on one-year deals. They don't make any money. But I don't know, man. I think it could get weird, and I think it could get weird fast. Now, they have the culture. They have the toughness. But I'm out. I'm out this year on them and really the division as a whole.
Yeah, I like the take on the North. I haven't heard that. Plus 145, co-betting favorites, of course, with the Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. Our buddy John Middlecoff joining us. I believe you were up in the Bay for a long time before moving to the desert, so maybe you can help us with this 49ers situation. Put it mildly, it's super weird what's happening with Ayuk, I think you would admit. Do you think they get something resolved here?
Yeah, I think the problem is, and I put this on Ayuk, like he thinks he's swimming with the big boys, and it's just the Niners aren't offering him the contracts of CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson. He's not on their level. So it doesn't make sense. They have a highly paid team. They're going to have to pay more guys in the future, starting with their quarterback. Like, their number's their number. I mean, you see CeeDee Lamb gets $100 million guaranteed. Well, if the Niners are offering 70, if you're in their building, if you're John Lynch, if you're Kyle Shanahan, my number doesn't change at all with this contract news coming out. Like, that impacts Jamar Chase, not Brandon Ayuk. The problem is Brandon Ayuk, it does impact him, right, personally. Like, he thinks he's worth more than they're offering. But they called his bluff. They said, okay, we'll do trades. And they found a pretty good one, right? Second-round pick and Amari Cooper. So, like, okay, deal. And he kind of was like, actually, no, I don't want to go there. And they're like, well, he doesn't really want to trade. Why? Because you stay on the 49ers, you catch your 75 balls, and you're on a great team, and you're a star. Because the Niners, one of the biggest brands in the league, they have a great coach, they're not going anywhere. And I think he's just trying to enforce this. But I don't think the Niners, like, last year Bosa had all the leverage. Right now, Trent Williams has all the leverage. But there was a story today that Jeremy Fowler said on ESPN, like, he will not show up unless his contract's amended. Like, yeah, we know. That's why he's holding out. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league. I mean, they have no choice but to bump him up significantly. But they do have choices with Brandon Ayuk. Like, this is our number. We're not budging. We've offered you trades. You said no. Worst case scenario, we force you to play on $14 million, which no one really wants to do either side, but we're not, don't expect to ever get like a CeeDee Lamb contract because one, you're not his level of player, and two, you'll never produce to the level he's producing. Our offense doesn't work like that. So I heard, well, I bet he's mad that Christian McCaffrey got taken care of. Well, yeah, Christian McCaffrey's making $12 million and got a raise to like $18-19. They would gladly have done that with Brandon Ayuk. So like comparing to like Christian McCaffrey, he doesn't even make $20 million a year. And he's obviously much more valuable to the 49ers. So honestly, I'm on Kyle and John's side on the Brandon Ayuk situation. And I wouldn't budge either because I do think they can find that guy. Now, the problem is they're in win-now mode, so they do kind of need him. But I have a hard time seeing them really budging when it comes to, like, all of a sudden he gets some crazy contract that's close to some of the high-end guys.
John Middlecoff joining us. We just got about 2 minutes, but I want to ask you because I know the number's shortened, but you can still get Bo Nix, Offensive Rookie of the Year, at 10-1. You like it?
I not only like Bo Nix as the Rookie of the Year. I mean, if you think he's going to be the Rookie of the Year, then you'd be like, well, the Broncos might not be bad because – one, I think their offensive weaponry is a little better than just the casual guy thinks. Now, defense got some question marks, but Sean Payton's proven to be pretty credible. And I think if you just ask the casual fan, and I believe I like the Saints this year too, and I think the Broncos and Saints fall under the same category. If you just ask a football fan, like, oh, Broncos, Saints, how many games did they win last year? Most people would be like, oh, 5 or 6. Well, Saints won 9, Broncos won 8. And the other thing is, like, if you're at a job that you hate, you're just in a bad mood or you're in a relationship with someone you don't like, you're kind of in a bad mood. Well, Sean Payton was in that last year with Russell Wilson. Couldn't stand him. Now he has a guy that he, like, loves. I mean, hell, he likes Zach Wilson. Like, I watched his press conference after the preseason game. He's like, I like our team. And I don't think he's just saying that. Like, I think he thinks they're not going to be bad. And I think when you look at the landscape, so you look at the AFC. Well, if you look at the big picture, if the AFC North gets a little weird – the Raiders are going to stink because they got no quarterback. The Chargers have a great coach, but their roster probably a year away. And the Chiefs we've seen can kind of – they're like the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant. Like, they can kind of go on cruise control. A lot of questions with the Jets. I mean, I think the Bills are still going to be good, but they've lost a bunch of players. Like, why couldn't the Broncos compete for a playoff spot? So if you like the Broncos, which I kind of do, I would hammer them to make the playoffs and the Bo Nix Rookie of the Year. Like, everyone's going Jade Daniels. I don't think Washington's any good. And he might be decent, but I just their team's not that good. So, like, I'm not really buying that hype. Like, the Caleb thing, it's a lot of hype behind it, but you understand it. Like, their offense is loaded. With Washington, I just don't see it. With Denver, it's like, well, their head coach is all in on this guy, and he's also the play caller. So how's this not going to work out decently?
Love it. Great breakdown. A little Bronco love from Mr. Middlecoff. You can check out the podcast. Three and out.
Do you agree? Do you think the Broncos could be decent this year?
Totally agree. And I think every time I hear Peyton talking.
I mean, they won 8 last year with Russell Wilson.
Yeah. When you said it, I was like, that's right. He did. And every time I hear Peyton talking, he's taking a shot at Russell Wilson subliminally. All right, we got to go. At John Middlecoff on Twitter. We'll talk to you soon, John. Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
There's John Middlecoff. I want to come back and talk about the Broncos. Sharp money. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, coming up in just about 15 minutes. Steve Fezzik, professional bettor, won the Hilton Super Contest twice. He's one of the best to do it when it comes to the NFL. He's going to be joining us in studio at the D. Ask the Pro. You can email your questions. We got a few coming in for Fez. Get some more in. Sharp Money at VSiN.com. My obsession, you know, sometimes you get some weird obsessions. Well, my obsession right now is Fezzik's obsession with Palinakis in Chicago. A dude, I don't know if he's a parody. I don't know if he's serious. I don't know anything. I just see the videos pop up on Twitter. He's a guy. I think it's just a dude that lives with his mom and he talks about sports betting, but mostly he just posts what he's eating.
Yeah.
And he went to Bet Bash. So Fezzik meets Palinakis at Bet Bash and has become completely obsessed with him. And I bring it up because Fezzik literally just tweeted. Now, this is old man tweeting, going back and forth. But Fezzik just tweeted his Monday lunch of, it looks like an acai bowl. So it's my new obsession. It's the Fezzik-Palinakis love affair.
All right. Let me add a couple things to the scenario here. One, I think he's from Chicago but lives in California now, George. Secondly, his other shtick is that he charts all of his bets in a notebook. So he invented writing your bets down on paper is what he thinks.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking maybe we surprise Fezzik one day and have Palinakis as a guest when he's in.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No, because he'd man crush all over him. It'd be like Chris Farley and Paul McCartney. Hey, remember that time you sang Let It Be? That was awesome.
Okay. Well, anyway, Fezzik's going to be joining us here in just a bit. Look, the Denver Broncos, 5.5. I do like the over. It's 6-1 to make the postseason. 22-1 in division. But I'll just say this. One, Peyton was in hell last year with Russell Wilson. It just like legitimately the antithesis of what he's looking for in a quarterback in myriad ways. He can't control him. Russell Wilson is a super weird dude, but he's also his own dude. So what Peyton wants is an extension, and that's what he got with Bo Nix. So Bo Nix being named the starter. And I obviously know Judy, but I think the roster's a little bit better than given credit for. First off, Tim Patrick coming back, remember the injury last year, and Cortland Sutton, two very good receivers. And then last year, I believe they used a second rounder on Marvin Mims. This year, they used a fourth rounder on Troy Franklin. So they have a little depth at wide receiver if those young players develop. You know, Javonte Williams, good run back. Like, there's stuff here. And if you didn't say it, and you thought about last year's season, 8-9 is shocking.
It is.
For now to drop all the way down to 5.5.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize they won 8 games. I will give you that. I do hate their schedule. There's a couple really rough patches that I'm like, who does this to someone? Like, who makes the schedule? Week 9 at Baltimore, week 10 at Kansas City, week 11 after getting beat up versus Atlanta, and then you have to go to the Raiders. In division, always going to be tough. That is a brutal stretch for this team. I don't love some of the scheduling spots, but if they won 8 games a year ago with Russell Wilson, who's absolutely toast, they could go over this win total very easily at 5.5. I don't think they're a playoff team, but I think over 5.5 is absolutely in play here.
We're going to hear from Tomlin here. I'll never understand the move for Wilson. And frankly, I don't really... The way that Tomlin's been handling this feels like a little bit of it should be on him, not naming a starter, kind of making it messy. I don't know if it's trying to check Wilson in some way. Look, Arthur Smith, given a choice, would want Fields.
Oh, he similar to what you just said about Sean Payton and Nix. He wants him to be the joystick. He wants him to be the extension of his offense. If you think about what Arthur Smith tried to do with Desmond Ridder, now imagine trying to do that with Justin Fields, but then also having a top 5 defense on the other side. You can be a little bit more conservative. You're playing for a few points here. I think for the Steelers, they looked at how things went last year. When they won football games, it was close games, fourth quarter, other team blinks, we make a play, and you were hoping that maybe Russell Wilson had enough left where you don't have to wait until those final moments of the fourth quarter to make plays. It's very evident that that is not there for Russell Wilson. He is not capable of winning you football games. I do not see it. He looks like he's absolutely done. Fields is the upside play, but with Fields comes the opportunity for some mistakes, some recklessness with the football. He's still not refined as a passer. However, if you can work that athleticism into the offense, I do think it makes sense. Let's hear from head coach Mike Tomlin, who met with the media following their preseason number 3 game and had this to say about when the quarterback battle will conclude.
We'll make a decision at the end of our work week this upcoming week. We got 3 days of Steelers versus Steelers work, and why not do it then? It kind of, you know, minimizes the Steelers versus Steelers work when we start making decisions prior to the completion of that. We've got ample time to prepare for Atlanta and make whatever decisions or announcements regarding divisional labor or pecking orders and so forth. And so we'll do it at the end of the work week.
What did you like out of Justin and Russ's efforts?
They both moved the ball. They won possession downs. They were able to put the ball in the end zone, things that we hadn't done to this point sufficiently enough in the preseason.
Okay. Okay. Offensive coordinator, what he could at least get creative with Fields. At least to get creative. You can't do anything with Russell. No,
you can run a very conservative zone read offense. Not all that different that Philly used with Jalen Hurts, where he really didn't open it up unless they had to. You can do something there. Now, you can't make a lot of the plays because Fields is less accurate and not as good of a decision maker as Hurts, but you can do something there. And you're going to be in the AFC North late in the year. Bad weather, outdoor stadiums, that's going to play a role here. I'd rather have Justin Fields where I can run the ball with him, run it with that backfield, and not have to throw it as much than rely on Russell Wilson's arm to get it done.
Big guy, there is an assumption that because he's won everywhere, and he has, and he is a great coach, there is an assumption that Jim Harbaugh is just going to show up here in Los Angeles with the Chargers and win football games this year. That is not happening.
I don't see it.
First off, he walked into legitimate cap hell. So it's year one. It's cap hell. The Chargers are sitting at 8.5 in division. And obviously with the Chiefs, we just talked about the Broncos. But the strength of this team is its offensive line. They drafted Joe Alt, obviously Rashawn Slater on the left side, you know, Bozeman, center, like they, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, okay, injury concerns. They don't have wide receivers. Joshua Palmer is wide receiver one. There's questions about Herbert. You know, Bosa never plays. He's questionable. Khalil Mack is over the hit. Like, this is not a roster as in win now mode. It's just not.
No, and they're actually not that dissimilar from the Steelers' approach. I think they're going to have an awesome defense. I think there'll be a lot of low-scoring games. And they're going to hope that they can make plays in the fourth quarter like the Steelers did a year ago. The difference is they have Justin Herbert. The problem is they don't have a lot of reliable guys for him to throw the ball to. So I think they're going to be very old school in their approach. Rely on the defense, rely on the run game, and Herbert's going to be asked to pick up third downs. But they're not spreading anyone open and having a wide open offensive passing attack. I think this is going to be a very conservative team that's going to be really good, I think, against the spread. I think they're going to cover a lot, but I don't think they're going to win. And unfortunately, it's going to take a year or two to get this roster back up to where it needs to be.
Could be wrong. Could be wrong. That's just my assumption. I just don't think this year. I don't think it's a 9-win team. You got to get to 9 if you're going to go over that 8.5, obviously, on the Chargers. They were 5-12 last year. Listen, Brandon Staley, he's a donk. So I'm not pretending like this isn't a complete upgrade. There's no juice here. They don't play home games.
Nope.
It's just this. Harbaugh's going to add a little excitement. It's people literally gravitate towards the guy, and there is something about his natural and authentic nature. But no.
No, and everywhere he went, he improved significantly right out of the gates. I get that. They're probably going to be a little bit better than they should be because he's going to win them one or two games with some late coaching decisions. And he's just kind of gutsy and he has a good feel for things. But in terms of being a good football team, no, they will not be a good football team.
And they open up, and Fezzik talked about this number because remember, was sitting 3. They open up with Minshew and Vegas coming to town. It is going to be a Vegas home game here in Los Angeles. It's 3.5. It actually did get bet all the way up to 4.5.
Wow.
Down to 3.5. So that key number of 3, always something to pay attention to.
Yeah, look, Jim Harbaugh's a great coach. We can't deny it. They're a team I'm going to back as an underdog a lot of times along the way. But thinking that they're going to be a team that wins a lot of football games, like week 2 at the Panthers, I like the Panthers.
Well, there you go. There's, you're probably a little biased. You might move. Well, you might be forced to move soon, but you might move to Charlotte.
Charlotte. A lot of NASCAR connections. Have a lot of friends there.
Fezzik's moving wherever Palinakis is. Professional better, Steve Fezzik next.